chapter 11. And I'll be reading verse 5 to 13. Luke 11, verse 5 to 13. And he said to them, "Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks to be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you are our great and loving Father. We thank you that we have come to a time when we are going to hear from your word. Oh Lord, speak to us. Use me as a vessel to speak to your people. Help us to understand your word and to meditate upon it. Put it in practice so that we will live holy lives which will be pleasing in your sight. Help us, O Lord, we pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We still continue with our series on prayer. And this will be the last part of that series. It is very common today to hear people say, "I'm praying for a breakthrough." Or you hear them say, "You should be praying for a breakthrough." And they will talk about breakthroughs of all kinds. One will say, "Should be praying for a breakthrough, a financial breakthrough, a breakthrough for marriage." And many other things they call breakthroughs, that so that you achieve them through that so-called breakthrough. The concept of breakthrough is not a biblical one. It is actually a misinterpretation of Scripture. Because what this teaching of breakthrough means is this. They say that there are forces in the heavenly realms which prevent your prayers from breaking through to reach God. So for you to pray so that your prayers break through, your prayers need to be vigorous and very powerful so that they can break through those forces and reach God.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, one of the proof texts to such a teaching is what we see in Daniel chapter 10. Where a messenger is sent to Daniel to bring an answer to his prayer. And this messenger tells Daniel that the prince of the kingdom of Persia prevented him to bring the answer to Daniel and withheld him for 21 days. And these people see in this verse, they claim that this shows that our prayers can be hindered from reaching God. But I think you see that it's crystal clear that the passage in Daniel is misunderstood for them to teach such a teaching about breakthroughs. To say that this passage teaches about breakthroughs is to put in this passage what is not there. Because you find nothing at all in this passage which shows that Daniel's prayers were prevented from reaching God. Rather, in verse 12 of chapter 10 of Daniel, you read this. This messenger tells Daniel, "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before God, your words have been heard and have come because of your words." This clearly shows that from the time Daniel started praying, his prayer was being heard by God. Daniel had nothing else to do apart from waiting upon the Lord for the answer to come. He didn't pray those powerful prayers. He didn't fight with demons. But we read here that the archangel Michael, who fought with the prince of Persia, not Daniel, did not do anything. And although I can't explain to you what really happened there, as it is written in Daniel chapter 10, but when we come to the new covenant, we see our Lord teaching clearly about what prayer is. And there's no hint whatsoever in the New Testament that our prayers need to break through forces in the skies. Related to this teaching of breakthrough, related to this teaching is what they call push. Push in full is pray until something happens. And according to push, they mean that it is push which brings the breakthrough. When you pray until something happens, that means you have got a breakthrough. Your prayers are now breaking through and reaching heaven. And this idea of push assumes that prayer is all about petitions and all supplications. As we have seen, prayer is not all about petitions, as we have already seen. And as one writer says, he also writes and notes that prayer is not all about petitions. And there are times when nothing tangible will happen when you pray. There is a time when God's answer will be no or wait. And in such situations, he writes and says, pushing, the so-called push, may not bring the expected breakthrough. And he goes ahead to say, but we must be careful, because push may push us off into the cliff of unbelief. As we question whether God is listening or even exists. And sadly, this is what happens today because of this false teaching. You hear people say, enough is enough. And even go ahead and say, God, I'm quitting. I prayed for so long and I've not received the answer, so I'm quitting. Oh, they even say, I've given you 2 weeks. If you do not answer my prayer, I'm quitting. I'm leaving Christianity. Oh my, this is because of these false teachings of breakthrough and push, of praying until something happens. But although these are false teachings, as I've showed you, the truth is we are required to persevere through our prayers. And this is what our Lord labored to teach us in the passage which is before us. After teaching his disciples about how to pray, and especially the content of prayer, here in Luke 11, which is similar to what we saw in Matthew chapter 6, he goes ahead from verse 5 to teach them about perseverance in prayer. We are going to consider this passage under three headings. The first heading will be the illustration of perseverance. The illustration of perseverance in prayer. Second, we will look at the exhortation to persevere in prayer. And thirdly, we'll look at the assurance of the good outcome of perseverance in prayer. Let's straight away consider the first heading, the illustration of perseverance in prayer. This is what we read from verse 5 to 8. And he said to them, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, "Do not bother me. The door is shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything." I tell you, although he will not get up and give him anything because he's his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. So here our Lord brings in a parable of the friend who goes and asks for bread in the midnight. So as to illustrate to his disciples the importance or the need to persevere in prayer. The cultures of the Jews are similar to the cultures here in Africa. Where we see in this case, and it's very similar to what we see here in Uganda or all over Africa, where a visitor will just go and visit someone without telling them that they are coming. Yes, of course, nowadays with phones, some call and tell you I'm coming. But there are those who still just come and you just hear a knock on your door. And because those days the means of transport were not like those of the current ones which we have now, it seems this friend was walking and maybe left his home late, so that's why he reached in the midnight hour. And the midnight hour was a very most inappropriate time to go and knock at one's door and seek help or even seek to be hosted. But still, this friend had no choice but to knock at his friend's place and for him to be hosted that night. But from this parable, we see that unfortunately, these friends find when they are asleep and they have eaten all the food, nothing left. But a host, because he doesn't want his friend to sleep hungry, he knows that he has some other friend nearby, probably who was a bit wealthy, and he was sure that he has something he will give so that his friend does not sleep hungry. So our Lord shows us that this friend goes to his friend and knocks the door. And the reply is, as we see from verse 7, he says, "He will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.'" Yes, those days the houses, some of them were one room houses, so here he means that they were all sleeping in one room, and so to wake up to give bread to his friend to be distracting these children who were already asleep. And the point of this parable or the reason why our Lord Jesus Christ gives it is what we find, especially in verse 8, where we read that, "I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he's his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs." The word impudence here means persistence, even shameless persistence, constantly. So he kept on, he says he can only give him when he keeps on knocking until his friend says, "Well, let me just wake up and open and give this friend what he needs." This is similar to the other parable which again our Lord gave in Luke chapter 18 on the same subject of perseverance in prayer. In that parable, in verse 1, this is what we read, Luke chapter 18. We read that, "And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart." It is here, so perseverance here is taught as not losing heart, always praying and not losing heart. And this is what our Lord wants us to learn from these illustrations. That we are to pray and not lose heart. Because the point here is not that God is like this friend who refuses to wake up to help his friend in need. And the point is not, when you consider it in the light of the one in chapter 18, it is not like God is like this unjust judge who refuses to help the widow because he does not fear God nor respect men. But our Lord, the point is that our Lord was using these illustrations to argue from the lesser to the greater. Meaning that if this human sinful friend would, because of the perseverance of his friend, wake up and give him what he needs, how much more, this is the point here, how much more will your heavenly friend, your Father, who loves you so much, how much more will he be willing to give you what you need when you persevere in prayer? Or again, in this case of the unjust judge, the point is that if this unjust judge, who neither feared God nor respected men, could grant this lady the request she needed, because of her continual persistence, how much more your Father, who is a just judge, who loves you so much, how much more will he readily give you what you need when you persevere and continually persist in asking him to provide. In that parable in chapter 18, in verse 8, our Lord says he will give them justice speedily, speaking of how God will respond to his beloved people who cry to him day and night. Because speedily here is in relation to the timing of God. Yes, we know very well that God does his things in his own timing and not our timing. And so the point here is, as you persevere, when the timing of the Lord reaches for him to grant that request, he will grant it speedily. Yes, when that time reaches, he will not delay any longer. But friends, it is such a divine mystery for us, which we can't truly comprehend, why God sometimes allows us to pray for some time before he grants our requests. Yes, his timing is not our timing. We may go to him and think, this is the time I need this. Maybe you'll be saying, this is the time I need a marriage partner. But it may not be God's timing for you. And that's why you need to continue persevering in prayer, praying and not losing heart. Trusting that he's your Father who loves you, who cares for you. Knowing that him allowing you to persevere in prayer is for your own good. It is not because he's not able to provide what you need, friends. Oh, it is not because he doesn't care about you. Oh, it is not because he's preoccupied with other things, so he has forgotten you like men do. Oh, don't think that maybe because he has too many prayers to answer, so that's why he's not answering me. No, friend, God is not like man. So the way he deals with us when with our prayers, it displays how powerful he is. Imagine how many people are praying at one moment. Maybe millions and millions of people pray at the same time. But he's paying attention to each and everyone. And he's treating each and everyone personally. So friend, this is our God. This is your God if you are truly a Christian. He's so loving and so caring that as you persevere, as you do like what we read in the Old Testament, you wrestle with the Lord in prayer. Do not ever entertain thoughts in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ever entertain thoughts that maybe he doesn't care about me, maybe he doesn't love me, maybe he's not listening to me. He is, and it is a privilege for you to go again and again and beseech him and wait upon him. It's such a privilege for you to be in his fellowship and enjoy the communion of your Father. But these are some of the suggested reasons why probably he's not granting your requests immediately. He's taking some time. Probably he sees that you are not yet ready to receive what you need. Probably if he gave to you at that time when you have just asked to make you proud and make you think you are self-dependent or you worked for what you have been given. But also he uses this time of perseverance through our prayers to test your faith. Test it so that it comes out strengthened. He also may be delaying because he may not be answering you because you don't need what you're asking for at this particular time. Oh, probably you don't need it at all. He is your Father, he's wise. He knows what you need, truly. Yes, for you may be thinking, I really need this thing. I really need this smartphone. But as your wise Father, he may be seeing that you don't need this phone. So you need to continue trusting in him. Even when you see that it is taking long for him to answer. So it could be that what you're asking is not according to his will. Because as James says, you ask and receive not. You don't have because you don't ask, and you ask and you don't receive because you ask amiss. You don't have because you don't ask, and you ask and you don't get because you ask amiss. So God will use perseverance in a case where he will say no to enable you understand and even change your mindset about something which you have been asking for. But for those things which you need and probably he sees that is not the time, he will allow you to persevere, and when he provides, you really see that you needed it, and that it is God who provided, and you'll be able to depend on him fully. But also important, God uses perseverance to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. Yes, as you go to him in prayer and search your heart and ask him to search you and reveal the sin in you, and so that you repent of it and grow in holiness, you'll be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ more and more. And also, as I say, this will increase your faith, to strengthen it and even make you patient as you continue persevering in prayer. So friends, here our Lord gives us an illustration to show the need for us to persevere in prayer. It is very easy to easily give up. And say, I prayed for this for so long. But this is an encouragement. Here is an encouragement to you. He cares for you. He loves you. And it pleases him when you go to him again and again and wrestle with him in prayer. I encourage you to continue doing that. Maybe you have prayed about something for now many years. Do not lose heart. Continue praying, continue persevering. Next, we see the exhortation to persevere from our Lord Himself. This is what we read from verse 9 to 10. And I tell you, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks to be opened. This is an exhortation from our blessed Lord Himself that you should persevere in prayer. Where the translators ask, seek and knock can be translated, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. And he uses the three words to emphasize perseverance and the need to persevere. And when you look through the Bible, you find that whenever this word ask is used, it is used to mean asking for things from God, petitions. And so our Lord here was saying, keep asking whatever you need, whatever you feel your heart desire, keep asking. Yes, you know that you need a marriage partner, for example. Keep asking God to give him to you. You know that you need a job. Keep asking God to give it to you. Yes, those of you who are struggling with rent, keep asking God to provide it to you. Yes, knowing that if it is His will, if it is something He has promised, He will surely give it to you. The way Azara BC, we are looking for church land and a sanctuary. Let's keep asking God and trusting in Him that He will provide at His own timing. So whatever you need, go to God and ask. And this word seek, whenever you see it in the Bible, is especially used to say that seek God Himself. So as you are persevering in prayer, as you are going to Him again and again, you are actually seeking God Himself. You are seeking to know Him more. You are seeking to know Him more. You're seeking to know His ways more. You're seeking to be in His fellowship more and more. But it's especially this word of knock, which emphasizes the seeking to be in the fellowship of God. It's the same word, of course, which we see in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. That verse which is so misinterpreted in today's Christianity. In which our Lord says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens, I'll come in and dine with him and he with me." That verse is not about Jesus Christ standing at the door of the sinner's heart, as it is usually interpreted. When you put that verse in its context, you find that Jesus Christ was speaking to a church, true believers. So He was seeking more fellowship with them, an intimate relationship with them. And not standing at the door of a sinner seeking entrance. As if you're still in your sins here, it is not that Jesus Christ is knocking at your door, at the door of your heart, seeking to allow you to allow Him enter. Yes, the command to you is to repent and believe the gospel. But what you should know is it is Jesus Himself who opens the door of your heart. You have no power whatsoever to open the door of your heart to be saved. But of course, you are commanded again and again to seek the Lord, to repent and believe the gospel. And my plea to you is that you do it this very day. That you turn away from your sins and trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Before it is too late. But oh friends, here our Lord Himself invites us and gives us the assurance. See what He says in verse 10. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. Yes, this is the confidence, the assurance which you have through our Lord Jesus Christ's words here. And when you ask, you will receive. Yes, if it's according to His will. And He knows that you desire it, you need it at that time. He will give it to you. When you seek Him, you will find Him. You will know Him more. You know His ways more. And that will be very beneficial to your spiritual health. So when you seek, when you knock at His door, He will open. And there will be more fellowship with Him. You enter into a deeper and intimate friendship with Him. Oh, friends, once again, seek, knock, ask. Have you been struggling with some besetting sin for a long time now? Be lustful thoughts have been disturbing you again and again. And you feel like giving up and say, Lord, I've sought your face, I've asked, I've thought, but I'm not getting the answer. Here is encouragement for you. Again, it is not that your father is not able. It is not that he doesn't care. He cares. Continue seeking him. Continue asking. Continue knocking. And surely when that time comes, which will be his timing, if what you have been asking for is according to his will, he will surely provide. Yes, those who believe in the push or breakthroughs, one of the things which they ignore is the Lord's will. They always do not put at the back of their mind or do not pray that, Lord, let your will be done. That's why at the end they are frustrated. Yes, their so-called faith is actually not true faith many times. And many times because they are seeking their fleshly desires. They are not seeking to honor God. And that's why when he says no to whatever they are asking, they get frustrated and talk of quitting. But of course, I doubt whether a true Christian can talk like that, can say, I'm quitting, I'm leaving Christianity. Yes, in most cases, those people are not even Christians. They need to repent and believe the gospel. It is very easy to start praying, but it's difficult to persevere. But I hope you leave this place today encouraged to persevere. Maybe you have been praying for salvation of your loved one, and maybe you have prayed for 10 years now. And maybe you were about to give up. Here's an encouragement to not cease praying. Pray without ceasing. Persevere. Do not lose heart. Next and lastly, we see the assurance of the good outcome of perseverance. This is what we read from verse 11 to 13. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, instead of a fish, give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Again, this portion of scripture, our Lord uses an argument from the lesser to the greater. Comparing our earthly fathers who are sinful to that holy Father, that perfect Father in heaven. And because of common grace, even those who are not truly Christians, those fathers, if their sons go to him and ask for something good, ask for what he calls fish here, they will not give them a snake instead of fish. They will give them what they have asked for. Or if they ask for an egg, our Lord says, again because of common grace, they will not give their son, their sons or daughters a scorpion. Yet they are evil. They are not perfect like your heavenly Father. That's why this is such an assurance to you when he says, how much more? Will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? How much more? If these earthly fathers can give good things to their children, how much more will your Father in heaven, who owns each and everything, who is not limited by anything? These earthly fathers, maybe a father can say to give a child something and the mother says, no, don't give. But our Heavenly Father, who can say, no, don't give this good thing to your son or daughter when he says, I'm going to give to them? And because of the love and the care he has for you, surely he will give you good things.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, because of your sin and your poor discernment, sometimes you ask for things which will hurt you. But your God, your Father, because He loves you so much, He will not give you that, rather He will give you what is best for you. What you need at that time. And the greatest gift which our Lord points to here is the Holy Spirit. Because in the same words is spoken in Matthew chapter 7. But puts there, look here, puts in the place of good gifts, He puts the Holy Spirit. Yes, to a believer, the Holy Spirit is the greatest gift. Because it comes along with all the gifts and graces which you as a believer need. It's to help you how to grow in the knowledge of God, how to pray better, how to seek Him better. Yes, you need the Holy Spirit. Because if you as a believer, He's already in you if you are truly a believer. But you need to seek to be filled by Him more and more. Yes, for your life to be under His control more and more. And with Him, with the Holy Spirit in you, He's able to provide all the physical and spiritual needs which you have. But how grateful should be to God that He cares, He loves us so much, and is willing to give us what is best for us. So friends, there's an absolute need for you to persevere in prayer. You are always to pray and not lose heart. Pray without ceasing. Yes, let it not be a push. Pray until something happens. Sometimes God will help you understand that it is not His will to give you this. But He'll help you change your mind about it and even seek to know Him more and worship Him and be contented in the state you are in if He will not grant that. But He has promised so many things to you through His word. And maybe you have prayed for them many years. Continue and trust in Him. He's your loving Father who will not deny you anything which is needed, which is best for you. I hope you have, as we have gone through this series, you have been encouraged about prayer. You have understood how prayer is so important for you as a Christian. For we sought the Lord from the beginning to teach us how to pray. And I'm sure we have learned so much from him about prayer. Seek, friend, to apply these teachings in your life. Seek to follow the example of our Lord himself while he was here below. How he lived as a man of prayer. Oh, seek to follow his example. But again, for you who are still in your sins, oh, I plead with you to repent and believe in Jesus Christ this very day. So that you can also be ushered in this glorious fellowship of God's people. Where you'll be able to enjoy the privilege of prayer. Oh, may the Lord help us that we will not take this for granted. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to us about perseverance in prayer. Oh, help us to persevere. Help us to pray always and not lose heart. Help us, O Lord, to trust you, our loving Father, who cares so much for us. Help us to know that you not withhold anything which we need and which is best for us. We thank you for loving us, for adopting us into your family, and thank you for this privilege to come before your presence as your children. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.